ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम शंकराचार्य मध्यमाम अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंताम वंदे गुरु परंपराम श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम आलयम करुणालयम नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ श्री महागणपतये नमः ॐ सर्वमङ्गलमाङ्गल्ये शिवे सर्वार्थसाधिके शरण्ये त्र्यम्बके गौरी नारायणि नमोऽस्तुते शरणागत दीनार्थ परित्राणपरायणे सर्वस्यार्तिहरे देवी नारायणि नमोऽस्तुते सर्वस्वरूपे सर्वेशे सर्वशक्तिसमन्विते भयेभ्यस्त्राहिनो देवी भयेभ्यस्त्राहिनो देवी भयेभ्यस्त्राहिनो देवी दुर्गे देवि नमोऽस्तुते रोगान् शेषान् अपहंसि तुष्टा रुष्टा तु कामान् सकलानभीष्टान् त्वामाश्रितानां नैपन्नराणां त्वामाश्रिता ह्याश्रयतां प्रयान्ति सर्वा बाधा प्रशमनं त्रैलोक्यस्याखिलेश्वरी एवमेव त्वया कार्यमसुद्धरिविनाशनम् ओण्मश्चण्डिकायै ओम नमो भगवती महाकाली महालक्ष्मी महासरस्वती रूपिण्यै पराशक्त्यै महाशक्त्यै भवतारण्यै 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 सर्वशक्तिमयै राजराजेश्वरी भवान्यै सर्वरोगशमन्यै सर्वदुःखशमन्यै सर्वसंपत्प्रदात्री सर्वविद्याप्रदात्री सर्वज्ञानप्रदात्र्यै सर्वकार्यजयप्रदायिन्यै सर्वाभीष्टसिद्धिदायै दुर्गायै मूकाम्बिकायै शारदाम्बायै कामाक्ष्यै वैष्णवी ललिताम्बिकायै श्रीमहात्रिपुरसुन्दरी मात्रे ॐश्चण्डिकायै सो लास्ट् क्लास् वि सा सर्वजयाय मार्गः मार्गः मीन्स् द वे means the only way to victory, absolute victory, absolute success, sarvajayaha, the only way to absolute victory, the only means to accomplish the absolute victory, absolute success in terms of moksha, accomplishing which everything else becomes as accomplished as it were, for that end, accomplishing that, all that you need to do is inquiry into the nature of the self, thereby arriving at the nature of the self, and which will help you arrive at the fact of the nature of everything else being on the same reality. That's the only way, he said. We saw that yesterday. So why Atmajnanam? Why self-knowledge? You know, self-knowledge will result in simultaneously what? The knowledge of the reality of the whole, and which actually is what? is actually the knowledge itself is what? The mokshaha, the freedom from all limitations. An accomplishment of which is the absolute end, ultimate one, because it's called sarvajayaha, all success. There is no greater success, greater accomplishment than accomplishing the knowledge of the self. There is no greater victory than accomplishing the knowledge of the self. Because it is the knowledge of the self which itself is the discovery of freedom, moksha. Isn't it? Therefore, Sarvajaya, what you need to do, Tanmarganam, enquiry into the truth of the self, nature of the self. Satyasthitirnaha mudeti yatra, tachodayasthana gaveshanena, vinana nashyed yadi tanna nashyet, swatmaikya rupa kathamastu nishtha, satyasthitirnaha mudeti yatra, tachodayasthana gaveshanena, vinana nashyed yadi tanna nashyet, swatmaikya rupa kathamastu nishtha. So what he says, swatma aikya rupa nishtha katham. Swatma aikya rupa nishtha katham. Atmaikya rupa nishtha katham means what? How can there be absorption in one's own real nature? There will not be absorption in one's own real nature, or abiding in one's own real nature. Abiding in one's own real nature means what? Having one's identity shifted from limitations to the limitlessness. Having one's identity resolved in the reality. So having one's identity resolved in reality is what actually abiding in one's own real nature. Abiding in one's own real nature is what? Abiding in the truth of the whole. And abiding in the truth of the whole is what? Abiding, being free from all limitations, which is freedom, moksha. So I'm telling you three things. See, there's no way, there's absorption in one's own real nature. Abiding in one's own real nature means having one's identity resolved in the reality. So having one's identity resolved in the reality means having one's identity resolved in the truth of the whole. And having one's identity resolved in the truth of the whole means what? Being free from all limitations. Being free from, that is what, discovery of the freedom. And which is our choiceless end. So that swatmaikya rupa nishtha, it's called swatmaikya rupa nishtha, nishtha, swatma aikya rupa nishtha. So this abiding in one's own real nature, thereby abidance in the reality of the whole, thereby discovering the freedom which is already there, is possible. What he says possible, only when the ahankara is resolved. Isn't it? Only in resolving the ahankara, only in resolving the I sense, in its truth, the abidance in one's own real nature is possible, which is moksha. So how can the therefore, he says, yadi tat na nashyet, if resolution of ahankara does not happen, then there is no way of remaining abiding in one's own real nature, which is moksha. Isn't it? Therefore, for you to resolve your ahankara, what is important? Only enquiry into the nature of I. So, self-enquiry alone will result in self-knowledge, which is the resolve in which alone your ahankara becomes resolved in its truth. That is what? Abiding in one's own real nature, which abiding in the real nature of the whole, the truth of the whole, which is the moksha. Therefore, he says, therefore, without the gaveshanam, without the enquiry into the nature of the I, resolving the I sense is not possible. Without resolving the I sense, abidance in one's own real nature is not possible. Is it? We talk about three things here. And he says, whereas, satyasthitihi na udeti. He says, satyasthitihi na udeti means what? The absolute state does not rise. Satyasthitihi na. Whereas, aham udeti, the I sense, you have to see, where does this I sense rise? Yatra aham udeti. Udeti means rises. Satyasthitihi, the absolute state, the ultimate reality, the state where the changeless state, where the I sense rises, where it rises, and then only by discovering, analyzing the entire into the nature of that I sense, arriving at the truth of the I, you can resolve the identities, resolve your ahankara. When we're resolving the ahankara, you can say that you have the abundance in the real nature of your own self. So, what he says is, there's no moksha. What he's implied here is, there's no such thing called moksha, which is the choiceless and accomplishable, unless and until, your mind remains, abides in the reality of the whole. Abidance in the reality of the whole is possible only when you abide in your own real nature. And abidance in one's own real nature, absorption in one's own real nature is possible only when you enquire into the nature of the I. Is it? In terms of where this I sense rise. Where does it rise from? Where does it exist? Where does it resolve? What he wants to say, never ever try to go in search of the truth of the whole, in the objective universe. The truth of the whole can be arrived at only as the truth of the I. Because the objective universe does not exist outside of the knowledge. And the knowledge that the world exists will not be there if there is no knowledge I am. So what is the source of the, if you want to know where this whole jagat exists, where does the jagat remains unmanifest, where does the jagat exist and where does it rise from? So even the jagat, where does it comes into manifestation from, where does it exist, where does it become unmanifest? Even for you to know, the truth of the universe, you need to know what? The truth of the very I. Because never will be the knowledge of the world without knowledge of the existence of one's own self. There must be always first I am. The knowledge of the existence of one's own self must be there first. Only then there can be the knowledge that the jagat exists is possible. Therefore, what he says, the final thing is, Atmaikya Rupa Nishtha is possible only. The abidance in the real nature of one's own self is possible only if you resolve the ahankara, I sense. The resolution of ahankara is possible only if you enquire into the nature of ahankara. Enquiring into the nature of ahankara, how will you do? You have to ask this question, where does this I sense rise from, where does it exist and where does it resolve? He emphasizes the enquiry into the nature of one's own self. And how can you encourage the nature of one's own self if you do not distinguish the I first? You have to distinguish the I in terms of the experiencer. from the experienced. That's why we need Shastram. Without the Shastra Pramanam, Shastra Prakriyas, the methods of unfoldment, there is no way of even distinguishing the I in terms of knower from the non-self. Isn't it? Only then you can ask this, where does it rise from, where does it exist, etc. Who emphasizes that? Anyway, so in this card I want to tell you one thing. See, we talk about twofold. See, this is jnanam. Take the word jnanam, knowledge. When you talk about jnanam, knowledge, there is vritti jnanam and there is swarupa jnanam. Vritti jnanam and swarupa jnanam. What is vritti jnanam? See, knowledge which rises in the form of a thought is vritti jnanam. Knowledge which rises in the form of a thought is vritti jnanam. The thought in Sanskrit language is called vritti, with vrittihi, antakarna vritti parinamaha, vritti, antakarna vrittihi is a thought. Thought modification. So, vrittihi, antakarna vrittihi is a thought modification. So, this vritti jnanam means the knowledge which rises in the form of a thought. When you say rises, definitely it will also what resolve. The knowledge which rises and resolves is what? Vritti jnanam. The knowledge which rises and resolves is vritti jnanam. So here, now, any object in the world, is also what we said now, you say any object indicated by any word, any term is what? Any term also is expression of the vritti jnanam. Every object in the world is indicated by a term, and the term is what? A word which is an expression of the thought in the form of vritti jnanam. So what is, if we say this is a mic, this object is what? This is an object, and this object is what? When you say it's a mic, the mic is a word indicating this object which is an expression of the vritti jnanam in the form of a thought. Thought of vritti jnanam. Is it clear? Now, similarly, the knowledge, even the I am, when you say I, even the first person singular pronoun I, which you use to refer to yourself, that I is also I, or you can say add am, I am, is also what? A word, an expression, which is an expression of the vritti jnanam, which is name of a thought. Whether you say I, or he, or she, it, that, apple, any object, okay? Anything and everything is what? Expression of the knowledge which rises in the form of a thought. A word is an expression of knowledge which rises in the form of a thought. It must be very clear. Okay? Which means there is no object outside of the word. There is no word outside of the thought. There is no thought outside of knowledge. Okay, vritti jnanam. So when you say I am, is also vritti jnanam. Vritti jnanam means what? Which rises and resolves. Which rises and resolves. How do we say that? There is a time the vritti jnanam is not there. That's why the knowledge I am is also vritti jnanam. The knowledge the world exists is also vritti jnanam. And the knowledge of anything pertaining to the objective universe is also what? Vritti jnanam. Any knowledge of any object, any discipline, anything pertaining to the objective universe also is what? Definitely vritti jnanam. Everything is what? Vritti jnanam alone. There is no such thing called object which exists outside of vritti jnanam. You can talk about an object only if it enjoys existence, isn't it? So any object and every object within this objective universe, but part of the objective universe, enjoys existence, presupposes what? Definitely, vritti jnanam. Knowledge. There's no object outside of the knowledge. Therefore, this vritti jnanam, basically, pertinent to the world also, is possible only if there is the knowledge that I am. I am also self-knowledge. This is a knowledge of the existence of oneself, which is also vritti jnanam. And these vritti jnanams rise and resolve. So when the vritti jnanam rises, it is waking state. When the vritti jnanam resolves, it is deep sleep state. How to understand whether the vritti jnanam is there or not? When the vritti jnanam rises, there is waking state. When the vritti jnanam resolves, then there is, unmanifest, we say what now? Then which it is deep sleep state. So for this vritti jnanam to rise and resolve, there must be substratum. Without a substratum, how can something rise? Suppose if the wave rises, exists and resolves, means there will be some substratum. Without which rising of the wave, existence of the wave, resolution of the wave is not possible. Like this vritti jnanam, where does it rise from? Okay, that is called what now? Swarupa jnanam. Swarupa jnanam is another word for reality. Reality, the truth, which is of the nature of knowing, is called what? Swarupa jnanam. What is Swarupa jnanam? That which is of the nature of knowing. That's why we say it is Chaitanyam, Chit, Chitihi, consciousness, awareness, knowledge. And this consciousness, awareness, knowledge is Swarupa jnanam, which is of the nature of knowing, which is the source, the truth of any manifest knowledge. But we can arrive at the manifest, the Swarupam, only by inquiring into the nature of the I, which is also what? Manifest knowledge. So now we say, the Swarupa jnanam does not rise, does not resolve. But what rises and resolves is what? Vritti jnanam. Now the question is, what is vritti jnanam now? Vritti jnanam in Sanskrit is what? We can say thought. Knowledge which I know of a thought means manifest knowledge. The Swarupa jnanam, we say what? Pure knowledge. In fact, even though the knowledge or consciousness alone is, we add these two adjectives as pure knowledge, as pure consciousness, or we say manifest knowledge or manifest consciousness. These two adjectives added now. So what is vritti jnanam, if you again analyze? This knowledge does not rise, does not resolve. The pure knowledge is always there, changelessly, beginninglessly. It's always there. So only we say that what rises and resolves is actually the thoughts. When the thought, the rising and resolution of the thoughts is within the realm of the order involved in the function of momentation. So there's a time the thoughts rise, is a time the thoughts resolve. So when the thoughts rise, the same pure the knowledge, the consciousness is always there. But the thoughts, an association in the presence of the thoughts, the consciousness associated with the thought is called what? Manifest consciousness, manifest knowledge. The thoughts resolve, the same consciousness continues to be there. So consciousness, the knowledge, awareness, unassociated, with the thought is what? Pure consciousness. See, the absence of thoughts, the consciousness unassociated with the thoughts is what? Pure consciousness. The thoughts rise, in the presence of thoughts, consciousness associated with the thoughts is called what? Manifest consciousness. Really speaking, there is no such a thing called, there are not two consciousnesses we don't have, two knowledges we don't have. There is no such thing called Swarupa Jnanam and Vritti Jnanam. There is only Jnanam. There is just knowledge, pure knowledge. There is no pure knowledge and manifest knowledge or pure consciousness and manifest consciousness. There is just consciousness. But we add these two adjectives as what? Pure consciousness and manifest consciousness. Pure knowledge, manifest knowledge. Shuddha Jnanam, Vritti Jnanam. Swarupa Jnanam, Vritti Jnanam. When do we call that? Consciousness is always there. When the thoughts rise, as a result of function of mentation, there's a time when the thoughts rise. In the presence of the thoughts, associated with the thoughts, consciousness is attribute, the qualification attributed to consciousness as manifest knowledge, Vritti Jnanam. In the absence of thoughts, unassociated with the thoughts, consciousness is what gets a different qualification, pure consciousness. That is just the consciousness. So these qualifications are attributed to the consciousness when in keeping with the presence and absence of the thoughts. Okay, therefore, what we have to understand here is, but even the consciousness is, in the presence of the thoughts, an association with the thoughts, consciousness with the adjective manifest consciousness alone is what? Interactable. Isn't it? Is recognizable. When the absence of thoughts, consciousness unassociated with the thoughts as pure consciousness is non-interactable. That is why in sleep, when the vrittis are resolved, there is no vritti jnanam in terms of I am. There is no vritti jnanam in terms of the world is. Vritti jnanam is not there. Why? Because vrittis are not there. There is pure jnanam is there. That pure not absent there, but still non-interactable. We cannot talk to somebody who is in sleep. I have to wake up the person, to interact with the person. Isn't it? Therefore, this is another way of understanding. This Shastram helps you arrive at it. This aham. That is why this aham, or I am, aham, I, aham asmi, I am, this knowledge, which is Vritti Jnanam, which must be there, which presupposes the knowledge that the world exists. Therefore, existence of anything in the world, I or this, presupposes the knowledge, the cognition. The manifest knowledge is what? Cognition. The cognition presupposes what? The consciousness. Manifest knowledge presupposes pure consciousness. That is the truth. And that consciousness is one indivisible, partless whole, all-pervasive, timeless reality. Therefore, everything should be resolved where? Where can the I be resolved? I sense be resolved? You know, physically you are not doing. Like you are not physically doing anything. The wave definitely is nothing but water. But water is not the wave. The same way, manifestation, every manifestation of knowledge. The manifestations are many, innumerable, in keeping with the innumerable, countless number of thoughts. In keeping with the minds, isn't it? But all the manifestations are the same, even though the manifesting medium, isn't it? The manifestations are all of the one and the only consciousness. This way the vritti jnanam, vrittis are many, so manifestations are many. But how many manifestations are many in keeping with number of thoughts? But all the manifestations are of one and the only consciousness. Therefore we can say what? I is consciousness. I am is consciousness, isn't it? But consciousness is not I. consciousness is not anything here. Everything is consciousness here. So, vritti jnanam is definitely swarupa jnanam. But swarupa jnanam is not vritti jnanam. I gave this example again already. It's like typically saying, so light, there's no pure light or reflected light. This is a very old example. I always give this in the class. There's no pure light or reflected light. There's just the light. But light, in the presence of the opaque thing, associated with the opaque thing, is given the qualification as reflected light. Light, in the absence of the opaque, unassociated with the opaque, is what? Pure light. It's just the light, isn't it? Is it clear? The same way here, there's no pure consciousness or manifest consciousness. Vritti jnanam. You have to understand here, I am is what? Vritti jnanam. This vritti jnanam may be there, may not be there. When the vritti is there, vritti jnanam is there. Aham vritti is there, aham jnanam is there. Hamasmi, the thought is there, knowledge is there. The thought resolves. What happens? The pure knowledge does not go anywhere. The non-interactably, non-recognizably pure knowledge is. What results is what? What? Thought results. Therefore, the knowledge I also results. The manifestation results. Consciousness does not resolve. Does not rise or does not resolve. Pure consciousness does not rise, does not resolve. The manifestation alone resolves. When the thought resolves. It's like that in front of you, the mirror is brought. Mirror is there, there's reflection of your face. Mirror is taken away, what happens to the reflection? It resolves. The original face. The same way here. Therefore, the pure consciousness is not the I, but definitely I is consciousness. I am is consciousness. That's why we can say, I am consciousness. Aham Brahmasmi. And everything else also is what now? Every object is what? If anything, you talk about something as an object only if it enjoys existence, isn't it? You cannot talk about something which doesn't enjoy existence. So everything and anything other than yourself which enjoys existence is also what? Manifestation of knowledge. Why? Because existence presupposes knowledge. Cognition. Therefore, the whole universe, now we can say, this knower, known. Subject, object. Subject also is what? Manifestation of knowledge. Object also is manifestation of knowledge. Experiencer, experienced, everything is manifestation of knowledge. Now, the pure consciousness, the pure knowledge is what now? Is free from this knower, known knowledge differences. Consciousness is Brahma, is neither subject nor the object. Neither the subject nor the object. Consciousness is not the subject, not the object, not the knower, not the known, not the, isn't it? But the subject is what? I, the knower, am what? Consciousness. What about the known? Known also is consciousness. It is free from all the differences, subject-object difference. It is free from all the triad differences, as knower, non-knowledge differences. That's why even though he says that Gaveshanam, simply by asking the question you won't get that, arrive at it. Definitely you need to understand this, what is vritti. And here that's why we also understand the function of mentation here. There is no truth other than that. He repeats one thing, okay, this is the only way. Now, That's why any vritti jnanam is mithya. Consciousness, the sorupa jnanam alone is satyam. It's called paramarthikam satyam. Vritti jnanam is what? Mithya. Which is not unreal. It is relatively real, empirically real. Because it comes and goes. But what is paramarthikam satyam is consciousness, Brahma, impaired by the terms Atma and Brahma, whereas vritti jnanam is also mithya. Now, I am is also what? The knowledge of the existence of oneself, which is vritti jnanam, is mithya. And what about aham Brahma asmi? Not only the knowledge of the existence of oneself in terms of I am, but the knowledge of what one's self is. Aham consciousness. I am the limitless reality, the consciousness. Aham Brahma asmi. Is also what? Vritti jnanam. Okay, the consciousness implied by the term Brahman alone is satyam. Atma is satyam. Understand? But even the vritti jnanam, aham Brahma asmi, this akhandakara vritti jnanam, which now we have actually. When you see, the wave is water, the water is the only truth of all the waves, entire ocean, you see, it is akhandakara jnanam, vritti jnanam in terms of water. With akhandakara vritti jnanam, when you have what now? There is I is a manifest knowledge, I am is manifest knowledge. The manifest knowledge is vritti jnanam, is there only when the vrittis are there. The vrittis are resolved, then there is no manifestation of knowledge. Then there is pure knowledge, which is deep sleep state. When the differences are resolved, there is advaita anubhava. The differences are manifest, there is the dvaita anubhava. Differences are resolved, advaita anubhava. Experience of non-dual experience. That is non-dual jnanam, okay? Non-dual, knowledge of the non-duality. Every day in sleep, you all have what? Non-dual experience. In wake up, knower, known. I, this. Is it? Then the differences are manifest, then there is a dvaita anubhava. Experience of the duality. So in manifestation, when the knowledge is manifest, there is dvaita anubhava, experience of duality. Once the knowledge is manifest, you cannot help having the experience of duality. You cannot help it. So, experience of duality, plurality, multiplicity, isn't it? Diversity is natural when there is manifestation. Because manifestation is not just only manifestations. So when there is pure knowledge, when there is no manifestation, when the thoughts, manifesting media, the thoughts are all resolved, then what do you have? This is a non-dual experience. Advaita anubhavaha in sleep. Dvaita anubhavaha in waking. So anubhavaha need not be denied. Advaita anubhavaha, dvaita anubhavaha. Both anubhavaha, both experiences are possible. You can talk about both the non-dual experience and experience of duality because of the experiencer. Isn't it? The witness. And that witness consciousness, what now? Again, which is of the nature of knowing. That's why we say Swarupa Jnanam is that which is of the nature of knowing. That is that consciousness, which is of the nature of limitlessness alone, is implied by the term Brahma, Atma, which alone is Paramarthikam Satyam, absolute reality. Just as the knowledge I am, is all Vritti Jnanam. The knowledge, I am Brahman, aham Brahma asmi, I the self am the limitless reality, the consciousness. This knowledge, akhandakara vritti jnanam, isn't it? This vritti jnanam is also what? Mithya. Mithya means what? It rises, therefore it will resolve also. Anything which rises, it has to resolve. So even a wise person in sleep, he does not know this fact that I am Aham Brahmasmi. The wise person, for him, he has to be up for him to remember this fact, Aham Brahmasmi. For the ignorant person who does not know Brahman, who does not know the truth, for the wise person who knows the truth as one's own sarupam, jnani, ajnani, for both of them are the same in sleep. Why? There is no vritti. Both have non-dual experience in sleep. On waking up, both have what now? Experience of the duality. But for ajnani, the duality experience is absolutely real. Whereas for a wise person, the experience of duality is not absolutely real. It is not absolutely unreal, but it is relatively empirically real. What is absolutely real for a wise person is consciousness, Brahma, which is one's own sarupam. And for him, Brahman is not only one's own sarupam, the sarupam of everything here. Because everything, the whole jagat enjoys existence, means all the world enjoys existence, means the existence enjoyed by the world is what now is presupposes the cognition, presupposes the manifest knowledge, manifestation of knowledge. And the source of the manifestation is the pure knowledge. Therefore, nothing exists outside of the reality. Isn't it beautiful, Ranaji? Therefore, everything here is knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. And being when you say, look at everything is manifestation of knowledge. Without understanding the thoughts, you cannot understand the expression, everything is manifestation of knowledge. Is what? God, Ishvara. Everything is manifestation of, expression of divinity. So the Paramarthikam Satyam, absolute reality, Brahman, isn't it? Is only consciousness. Everything else is what? We say mithya. Mithya means empirically real. Relatively real. But not unreal. Not absolutely real. That's why he says here, this verse, I had to give the grossest example to make something subtle, to drive home something very subtle. Even yesterday I told you, this is Hastamalakacharya's example. There can be hundreds and thousands of reflections of sun in the water, the muddy water, clear water, or colored waters, or transparent containers, or clay pots, anywhere there can be reflections of the sun. The reflections are all of what? Are the only one sun. The quality of reflection differs in keeping with the difference in the quality of the manifesting, reflecting media. But even though the quality of the reflections differ, all the reflections are non-different. Why? Because all of them are the reflections of one and the only sun. So reflections are not unreal, they are mithya. Satyam is what? Only the sun. Similarly here, the swarupa jnanam, that which is the reality, which is of the nature of knowing, jnanam. That's why jnanam means jnanati iti jnanam. No, Radhaji. Reality is called jnanam. Jnanati iti jnanam. That which knows. So knowing is its swarupam. So chaitanyam, we say. That one is paramarthikam, satyam. And anything expressed is what here? I is also manifestation of knowledge. When there is a given vritti, aham vritti, this is also what? Manifestation of knowledge. So there is no way of arriving at the truth of this without having arrived at the truth of I. Because that this existence of this presupposes existence of I. Therefore, you don't need to break your head, waste your time in knowing what is what the truth is in the objective universe. Better search for the truth as the truth of I. That is why we always say the reality has to be understood in terms of its swarupam as the swarupam of the knower, I, not as the truth of the known.
कूपे यथा गाढ़जले तथान्तः कूपे यथा गाढ़जले तथान्तः निमज्य बुद्ध्या शीतया नितान्तम्
Actually, the previous verse, you want to know how exactly to split it?
Kupe yatha gadha jale tathantaha. Kupe yatha gadha jale tathantaha. Nimajya buddhya shitaya nitantam. Nimajya buddhya shitaya nitantam. प्राणञ्च वाचञ्च नियम्य चिन्वन् च वाचञ्च नियम्य चिन्वन् विन्दे निजाहङ्कृतिमूलरूपम् विन्दे निजाहङ्कृतिमूलरूपम्
See, he only tells, may one know the truth of oneself repeatedly, but how? That prakriya is not here. Prakriya is only in Shastram. This is what Amar Maharshi's disciples have to really understand. He tells one has to know the truth as the truth of one's own self. Therefore, one has to enquire into the nature of the I. One has to understand what this I is all about. But only by understanding what the I is, one can arrive at the truth. That he tells. But how to arrive at the truth? The methodology is where? Only in the Vedanta Shastra. So he says, Kupe yatha gadha jale. Suppose if somebody, Kupaha means well. Gadha jala means the deep well which is full of water. The deep well full of water in the, suppose something is there, something is lost in the well water, and then what one has to go, what one has to go, they dive deep into that well and to discover that. So he talks about the kupa. Kupa means the well. And it's a very deep well full of water and something is hidden there underneath. So one has to, one can't just standing on the surface, one cannot get it. One has to get into the well water and one has to really dive deep into the well and go to the bottom, so one has to get it. In the same way, what he says, our own mind is also like a what now? Deep well. Sometimes the Shastram says guha, cave, deep well and full of water in terms of thoughts. And you have to go now deep, dive into the bottom of the well. And what is the bottom, what is the actually dead end of the, that bottom of the well called mind? You will stumble upon what? I am. The knowledge I am. I. Once you go there and you see, then again further you enquire what this I is, you arrive at what? you stumble upon the truth, consciousness. So what he says, Nimajya buddhyashitaya nitantam. So one has to dive deep into the one's own buddhi guha, buddhi cave, thereby one can arrive at the truth of the I. And what he says, pranam cha vacham cha niyamya. That is possible for you that the inquiry into the nature of the I will be comfortable, possible only if the mind is a disciplined mind, isn't it? So you can avoid the distractions. For which emphasis here, pranam cha vacham cha niyamya. So having disciplined one's prana and also the organ of speech, which means having followed these disciplines, the speech discipline in terms of speech and mind. Niyam, the pranam cha vacham cha. So prana, he emphasizes here the discipline of the pranayama and also the discipline in terms of speech. So by following all these disciplines, it will be possible for one to do the inquiry. Which means the contemplation will be possible only if you are disciplined minded. He emphasizes that. Thereby, vindet nija ahankriti mola rupam. Thereby one can attain the truth of one's the ahankara, truth of the ahankara, one's own self. Ahankriti mula rupam vindet nija, one's own self, one's own ahankara. So of the one's own ahankara, one's own self, one can arrive at the truth of one's own self only if inquires into the nature of the I, for which one must be mentally disciplined. And the discipline is possible how? For which he emphasizes the following the disciplines, the discipline of pranayama and discipline in terms of speech. So I'm not elaborating on these things. What he emphasizes is you need to be mentally pure and steady for this knowledge. Without the mental purity and mental steadiness, inquiry is not possible. It's not simply inquiring alone. That is why we don't simply hear, we say inquiry. The shravanam is important. Shravanam alone will not give you jnanam. Shravanam definitely has to be followed by what? Nididhyasanam. See, this is a fact which you have understood now. But are you able to dwell upon this fact repeatedly? Even after 1 hour, we feel bored or tired. This is the greatest fact. First of all, some people get frightened, you know that. If you are saying, there is no really I. There is no real I. There is no absolute I. I is only a vritti jnanam, which is not a gross body, tangible body. And I is not even the subtle powers. I is not even other thoughts. I is the first and the foremost thought. One single thought. I is not even the entire mind, which is all other thoughts. I is actually a single and the first and the foremost thought. Why is the first and the foremost thought dead end of the mind? Which has to rise first for all the thoughts to rise. Therefore, I say first and foremost one thought. And this thought has no form. And where is it? You don't know the location of it. And finally you say it's only manifestation of knowledge. And the thought, when you understand manifestation of knowledge, it's only not absolute, it rises and dissolves. What is absolute is consciousness means you have to lose your individuality, identity. In consciousness means very frightening. Very, very frightening. Isn't it? Some people are very scared because they don't want to lose that. Very frightening. That's why we hear what now? That's why understanding Shravanam and this fact, yes, I'm not even, I see here, he only says, no, understand, arrive, enquire into the nature of the I, arrive at the truth as the nature of your own self. He repeats that. He repeats and repeats and repeats. I'm not repeating, okay? Ramana Maharshi is repeating in these verses. That reality, that alone is. The whole Jagat is, when you say, you have to cognitively resolve the Jagat in that pure consciousness. So the whole Jagat is what? Manifestation of this reality. Yes, how you had the entire ocean, you are experiencing the full, no, you are experiencing the plurality of the waves, experiencing the ocean, but you have to cognitively resolve the ocean in what? In its truth, the water. There is no ocean independently outside of water. In the same way, all is gross, tangible, varieties of objects and things, experiences, all of them, nothing exists outside of the reality, the consciousness, which alone is Satyam. Isn't it? And then where are you? Where is the Jagat? There's no I, there's no you, there's no she, there's no it, there's no that, there's no Jagat, there's no object. All that is here is manifestation of only reality. Therefore, I is consciousness. I am consciousness, to say difficult, isn't it? I is nothing but consciousness. I am consciousness. Aham Brahma Asmi. Which, when you say this, this is expression of the Vritti Jnanam, Aham Brahma Asmi, which is born of what? Your vision of the, you know, the I being the manifestation of the knowledge, the consciousness. And which you are not simply blabbering. This is a fact which you have to repeatedly dwell upon, contemplate upon. That Nididhyas alone will give you what? The Dridagyanam, which is Mokshaha. It is not simply enquiring. Enquiry will result in Jnanam. But the Jnanam needs to be assimilated, isn't it? Again, for you, when you interact in the world, the knowledge should become handy. So that your smallness is not triggered again. Ahankara is not triggered. The sense of smallness centered on I is not triggered. That is where there's Jivan Mukti, isn't it? So he says, Ahankriti Moola Rupam. What is Ahankriti Moola Rupam? Taranga Moola Rupam. The source, substratum, the root of the wave is water, when you say. So similarly, what is the root, the source, the substratum of this knowledge I, manifest knowledge I? I, first of all, you should remember this fact that I is a vritti jnanam. It is not the formless vritti jnanam. It is intangible vritti jnanam, which is not even the gross physical body, not even subtle objectifiable forms, isn't it? And that vritti jnanam, that itself is a big leap for us in understanding. Then that vritti jnanam is what? That I actually is consciousness. I am conscious. There's no I. There's no way other than water. There's no I other than consciousness. Isn't it? So, that ahankriti moola rupam, nija ahankriti moola rupam vindet. One should definitely arrive at the truth of the one's own I sense. This is I, the self, which is ahankara. By diving deep into the cave of one's own mind, you can say, he says, well of one's, just as one dives deep into the deep well and gets something which is hidden in the well water, the same way. Okay, let me go to the next verse. Therefore, what is Sat here? What is here in the form of the world is nothing but knowledge, Jnanam. What is knowledge. It's called Sadarshanam. What is knowledge. The Sat, which exists, which alone exists, is what? Jnanam. The existence is Chit. Sat is Jnanam.
Maunena majjan manasa swamula charchaiva satyatma vicharanam syat. Maunena majjan manasa swamula charchaiva satyatma vicharanam syat. Yeshohametanna mama swarupam. Yeshohametanna mama swarupam. Iti prama satya vicharanagam. Iti prama satya vicharanagam. Maunena majjan manasa swamula. Maunena majjan manasa swamula charchaiva satyatma vicharanam syat.
Charchaiva satyatma vicharanam
syat. Yeshohametanna mama swarupam. Yeshohametanna mama swarupam. Iti prama. Iti prama satya vicharanagam, satya vicharanagam.
What is this? Atma vicharanam. What is atma vicharanam? Satya atma vicharanam. What is the inquiry into the nature of the self, the truth? What is the inquiry into the nature of the self, the truth? He says, Satya Atma Vicharanam. What is that? He says, Maunena. You don't need to talk much. You don't need to. Mauna means not remaining silent. Not Maunena means what? Silently means what? Not allowed. Definitely mentally. So, maunena here implies contemplation. Maunena, mentally. Majjan. Majjan means what? Remaining, diving deep into one's own mind mentally. Maunena. Not talking, not making noise. So, which means contemplation.
Manasa.
Swamula charcha. So, inquiring into the nature of the I alone is what? Atma Vicharanam. What is the source of the root, substratum of the mind? What is the substratum of the I? It's called Atma Vicharanam. It's called inquiry. He says, Yeshaha Aham. Yetat na mama swarupam. So, all the time, he's really talking about the contemplation in this verse. See, after inquiry, when you what is inquiry here? You distinguish the I from the non-I, self from the non-self. And you understand I as the manifestation of knowledge. And you understand the I is manifestation of knowledge means it's a vritti jnanam which is there when the thought is there, which is not there when the thought is not there. So what rises and resolves is manifestation. The manifestation is actually of the original knowledge, pure knowledge, which is consciousness. You arrive at that aham brahmasmi. I am consciousness, you arrive at it. After arriving at it, what should remember all the time? This is a fact which you arrive at and you have to dwell upon that fact repeatedly. Yeshaha aham. Aham yeshaha. I am. Yeshaha means this. Aham means I. So I am that truth. Aham brahmasmi. I am this reality. I am this consciousness. I am this consciousness. I is consciousness. Wave is water. Wave is water. Wave is water. How you repeat? I am consciousness. I am consciousness. Aham brahmasmi. That is, I am. First of all, you should know I am is what? Manifest knowledge. I is also manifest. So, I is consciousness. Therefore, aham brahma. Aham brahma. Aham brahma. I am consciousness. That, no, which you have, after having arrived at the fact, and without living there, repeatedly, quietly dwell upon that fact. So, this dwelling upon the fact, which you have arrived at through analysis, through inquiry, what should you do? You don't need any make noise? No, silently. Because completely, when the attention of the mind is totally focused on dwelling upon this fact, naturally mind will be silent. Because there is no other object. See, if other anything other than the self you are thinking of, there will be lot of noise in the mind. There will be anxiety, there will be ragadvesha, there will be fear, there will be anger, everything will be possible. All these things are possible. Because when your mind is totally focused on your own nature, you're dwelling upon your nature, then naturally what will happen? Dwelling upon your nature, then there will be silent mind. You don't need to make your mind silent. Mind will be naturally silent. What he says, when maunena, so by distinguishing the self from the non-self, inquiring the nature of the self, arriving at the truth of the self being consciousness, then repeatedly dwelling upon the fact of the self being consciousness, is what? He says, that alone, vichara angaha. That is the part of the inquiry, he says. Yeshaham yetat na mama swarupam. This is not my nature. My real nature is what? Consciousness. Repeated dwelling upon it. This is this knowledge. This is the ahandakara vritti. This prama is what? Is the conclusion, is the end of the, is the final result of the inquiry. He says, vicharana angam. The inquiry has to end, isn't it? The self-inquiry should end in what? In end in assimilating this fact, assimilating this knowledge that I am Brahma. Aham Brahmasmi. I am consciousness. So it's not simply inquiry and arriving at it. Having arrived at the truth also, repeatedly dwelling upon that fact, assimilating that fact, thereby I am the reality, is also what? Final, that is the end of the vichara. With that alone, the inquiry ends, comes to an end. Until the nididhyasanam happens, until the fact becomes, the understood fact becomes assimilated, the inquiry is not complete. Because the purpose of inquiry gets served only in assimilation of the fact which you have arrived through the inquiry. So when this fact becomes assimilated, what happened? That is, he is saying in the next verse, 30th verse.
Gaveshanat prapya, hridantaram tat, hridantaram tat, pate dahanta, pate dahanta paribhugna sirsha paribhugna sirsha ataha manyat spurati prakrishtam ataha manyat spurati prakrishtam naham kritistat parameva purnam naham kritistat parameva purnam gaveshanat prapya gaveshanat prapya hridantaram tat daram tat pate dahanta paribhugna sirsha paribhugna sirsha
ataha manyat
spurati prakrishtam prakrishtam naham kritistat naham kritistat parameva purnam
parameva purnam.
Okay, it's a beautiful verse. See, gaveshanam means search, research. So, enquiries, called gaveshanam. So, gaveshanat, by repeatedly enquiring into the nature of the self, having distinguished the self from the gross, subtle thoughts and gross body, etc., and having inquired into the nature of that I, what is this I if it is not any of these which I am experiencing? You know, having inquired the nature of the I, having arrived at the truth in one's own mind, hridantaram, hridantaram means what? Within the one's own mind, having arrived at the truth through enquiry, truth being the awareness, the consciousness, then what happens? Having resolved that I in that truth, see, having arrived at the truth and in one's own mind, having resolved that I in the very truth cognitively, then what happens? Ahanta patet. Ahankara resolves for good. Pated means what? Ahankara falls for good, falls flat for good. Ahankara falls, no, becomes resolved for good. Pated means what? It just resolves. Suppose, definitely, ahankara, I sense, is resolved for good in the vision of the truth. Paribhugna sirsha. Only cognitively resolve it, isn't it? Paribhugna sirsha. Paribhugna sirsha means what? Actually, is completely knocked off. Ahankara becomes completely not. Its head becomes cut off. Ahankara's head becomes cut off. Paribhugna sirsha. Ahankara's head becomes cut off means what? Ahankara is not there anymore. Ahankara is resolved for good. The knowledge, I am still there. Isn't it? See, what is ahankara now? Ahankara's head being cut off here. Ahankara being resolved for good means what? The knowledge, I am still continues to be there. It will not go anywhere. But the knowledge, I am, associated with the mind, associated with the body, I am sad is cut off. I am fat is cut off. I am upset is cut off. I am unhappy is cut off. Isn't it? That's all gone. That's when ahankara. This knowledge I am identified with the non-self is what? Ahankara. The knowledge I sense shifted from the non-self and resolved in anatma is what? Brahma. When does I sense become ahankara? When does the knowledge I am become Brahma? In wrong identity, ahankara. In right identity, Brahma. In wrong identity, it is a limited individual. It is there isolated as a limited individual. But in right identity, it is what? The fullness. It is not there. In right identity, ahankara is not there, only reality is there. So the knowledge, I am still there, but I am not, I am the body, I am sad, is not there. Aham Brahmasmi is there. It is cognitively, I sense has been shifted from anatma to atma, mithya to satyam, jagat to Brahma. See clear? Remember what he says? That's called paribhugna shirsha. Completely its head cut off. Paribhugna shirsha. The ahankara resolves for good. Having arrived at the truth in one's own mind, no, through enquiry. Then, atha, aham anyat spurati. Again, the knowledge I am will be there for a jnani or not. After having resolved the essence in the reality, have heard the reality, ahankara is knocked off completely. Ahankara is knocked off means, will there be the knowledge I am or not? Essence or not? Definitely there will be essence. Aham spurti. Again the knowledge I rises. For a wise person, the knowledge I again rises, like for any ajnani, but na ahankritihi, but the I sense is no more ahankara for a wise person. What is it for him? That parameva purnam. For him, I sense is Brahma. The knowledge I is Brahman for the wise person when it rises again after having arrived at the truth. The reality. Reality which is of the nature of fullness. Purnam Brahma. The all-pervasive, limitless reality Brahman, the absolute reality Brahman, for the I sense which rises, is what? Absolute reality Brahman. Whereas for Ajnani, the I sense which rises is what? Ahankara. Now, is it clear now? The knowledge, I am, is the knowledge vritti jnanam, which has no form, which is subtle. Understand? And which you use to refer to yourself, which is completely distinct from all the thoughts, all the emotions, the prana, sense powers, the physical body. But this I sense, when it's identified with the non-self, it is ahankara. The same I sense, no, through enquiry, after having arrived the truth of the I in the one's own mind as consciousness, then what happens? Ahankara is knocked off, means again the I sense which was resolved in the truth rises. But when it rises, what happens? It is no more ahankara, it is Brahma. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.